opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or want to call in to today's show, we're at 907-458-8255. Today's the second Tuesday of the month because the first Tuesday was the opening of most hunting seasons when I was a kid, or the first of September anyway. So it's since instead of having the Laundry House Gang on the first Tuesday of the month, we got them on the second Tuesday of the month. That way we did not interrupt their killing of endangered species like I was doing.
You mean like moose?
Yeah, like bats. Wayne, bats. Tell us about your bat story.
I got bit by a bat. A little brown bat bit me. And
did you get it checked out and shot?
Well, yeah. First, he was floating in the water barrel, and I thought it was a dead leaf, brown leaf, something. It was light, wasn't great. I just reached down there to scoop the leaf out of the water barrel, and a little sucker bit me. First thing.
Do you think it was a conspiracy between the bats and the squirrels?
I think it was.
Compo put it in there, yeah.
Yeah, there. But no one likes to be bit by a bat. So
I would not know that.
Yeah, you always are concerned about rabies and bats because we know that's a reservoir. And so I'm looking on the internet to find out what my chances of death are, and find that 1 in 200 randomly sampled little brown bats carries the rabies virus. So the odds aren't really bad for me, but nonetheless, I checked in with what to do, and it said go to the ER or urgent care. I'm thinking, well, ER. $8,000, 4 hours, urgent care, good luck. So I go to urgent care. Meanwhile, I have captured the bat and put it in this little biscotti jar that I happen to have down there in the hothouse. So I've got the bat under my...
Is it live?
It's live, yeah. It's clumping around there and acting ornery. And looking really big.
So you got a house pet now.
Really big for a little brown bat. I go to the urgent care, and the lady says, what can I do for you? And I says, my name and my birthday, and this bat just bit me. What do you think we should do? She said, bat? I didn't know we had bats, and pretty much snatched the bat biscotti prison out of my hands and shared it amongst all the other intake people who didn't know that we had bats and were taking selfies with the bat. And I don't know what the guy who might be dying of rabies is supposed to be doing at this time, but that's me. So they say, well, we'll get the triage nurse out here to see about your care. So the triage nurse comes out, and first thing she says, you know that animal can't be in this building. Well, I didn't know that, but it made kind of sense since it might be rabid.
You can't break it into the building. Very good, Wayneheimer.
So, I was with my wife, and she took the bat back out to the Subaru. It was interesting that the heartfelt intake staff were worrying about the bat running out of oxygen because he was in a gallon-sealed plastic jug. They said, well, should we poke some holes on the top of that so he can breathe? I said, well, I don't think so if he might have rabies. And besides, bats being bats, if he runs out of air, he'll just go to sleep for a while. And when he gets more air, he'll wake up.
So you knew more about bats than they did.
Well, I'd had some experience with bats, not much. But that's another story that I think is kind of cute. When I was a beginning student at the Institute of Arctic Biology, several of the other beginning students with shotguns had been duck hunting. And we'd been down the river with our river boating mentor, Don Borkert, who liked to ward off the fall cold with a few sips of Christian Brothers fruit-flavored brandy on the way back home. So we tie up at Don's place, and there's this bat flying around over the tie-up area. And as budding scientists, we wondered whether a bat could escape the charge of a 12-gauge. So we figured, well, let's see if the speed of sound bats echolocate, and if the speed of sound is 750 miles an hour, convert that to feet per second, and the shotgun is going out at 1,400 feet per second. We're deliberating all this, and boom! Don whipped his Browning Auto 5 out of the sheath and shot the bat out of the air and said, well, I guess that about covers that, doesn't it?
You're bat bit crazy.
Well, there's more. I mean, I've learned about bat poop in the bargain as well. But what you do if you're bit by a bat and you can take the bat with you, you don't necessarily go to urgent care unless you're seeking a tetanus shot because it might have been a puncture wound. But what you should do is take the bat to Fish and Game, where you fill out some paperwork about the incident, and then you take the bat up to virology up at the university, where security is, I'm sure, better than it was at Wuhan. And getting into that place with a bat is a little bit of an adventure in itself. So we take the bat up to the place, and we turn it in and wait for stuff to happen. There's a lovely lady who was the attending medical person down at the urgent care. Sandy is her name. And she called that afternoon and said, well, did you find out about the bat? Well, no, we hadn't, because the person that does the bat examination, which I think still amounts to offing the bat and taking its brain, putting it under a microscope to see if it has little black specks in it. Those little black specks are called nigri bodies and are indicative of the bat carrying rabies. So that's going to take a little time. So that was kind of it for the day. But the lovely lady, Sandy, had called Fish and Game to tell him I was coming. Well, I used to work there, and there was a line of mockers standing by.
Bat bit crazy.
Yeah. After a serious round of mocking, Dr. Beckman took the back bat, which looked pretty big in its little plastic jug.
The story's getting bigger, so is the bat.
Yeah, the bat's pretty big. So she takes the bat in the back room and offs it with something kind of like chloroform or whatever, and it comes back in this little tiny plastic coffin. It's not near as big as it was before. It really looks tiny, actually.
She killed the bat.
Yeah, she killed the bat. You can't very well look at its brain without offing the bat.
You know, in today's world, you never know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. But, so leave the bat at virology, and the next day don't hear anything. The lovely lady from urgent care calls back again and checks and see if it's working. Meanwhile, I've been sleuthing on the internet about everything bats.
That sounds like your personality.
Yeah, well, I found out interesting stuff, which goes clear to Cleopatra if you want.
No, that's okay. That's quite all right.
So, you know, eventually we find out the bat tested negative, although when I called virology the next morning, they couldn't tell me that I had to call the provider, which is calling urgent care, which is kind of like calling the moon. So I called Fish and Game, and they were good enough to tell me that the bat was not ill with rabies. So all's well that ends well. But in the meantime, I found these
little... Except for the bat.
I found these, well, it's a problem for him. What's he doing in the hothouse anyway?
I guess the last person you ever want to bite is Wainwright. Because you're going to get the chloroform.
Yeah, but I found out that I've been seeing little poops all around. I thought they were rodents, and they aren't. And the way you can tell rodent poop from bat poop is bat poop is readily crushed, and rodent poop is pretty hard to crush with your finger. So if you find a little tiny poop laying around where you're wondering how in the heck that got there, you might try squishing it with your finger after you put on your rubber gloves. And if it squishes, it's probably bat poop. And bats are insectivores, so they eat insects, and there's little wing fragments and stuff that aren't adjustable. And if you shine a light on it, it will sparkle.
Don't go there.
That's bat bit crazy. So I guess you're right. I'm not going to go there because, you know, I'm just not going to go investigate see if something's bat poop versus rodent poop and put my fingers in it and look for little things from insects. So
you can commission Heimer to continue his studies.
Yeah. But there are bats everywhere.
He needs a master's.
Yeah.
There are bats everywhere throughout the interior. Everybody ran into has a bat story.
Yeah. We used to, when I was out of Healy Lake, we used to take socks and throw them in the air and shoot them with 12 gauges. Hence, I always ask you about your squirrels and 20 gauges and 13-year-olds. with shots, because that's how you take care of your rodent problem.
Yeah,
and basically, a bat's a flying rodent.
I've been otherwise occupied this last week.
Fairbanks, after that bat story, we're gonna go back to the bat cave, and we're going to let you have a little bat break. We'll be back after these bat messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Your miraculous eyes connect you to your world, bringing it into focus every moment, every task in your life. Reading a book, the street signs ahead, scanning the horizon for weather. Visit family optometrist Dr. Natalie Mackey, certified in pharmaceutical treatment of glaucoma, iritis, and more. Natalie is on your Eye Clinic of Fairbanks team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians who provide medical and surgical eye care, prescription lenses, fashion eyewear, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
The change of season means it's time for a change of equipment at Craig Taylor. The Honda lineup of snowblowers is ready for whatever winter brings. The Honda snowblowers at Craig Taylor include tracked or wheeled options with gas or electric power. Your new Honda snowblower will clear 32 inches with a throwing distance 56 feet. New stock is coming in now, so buy off the floor or reserve yours today. Craig Taylor Equipment, South Cushman at Van Horn.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-989-8906 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-989-8906. That's 800-989-8906. What do you have to lose? Call 800-989-8906. Again, 800-989-8906.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 56. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 37 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Mainly cloudy skies again tomorrow. High of 57. 56 Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. 57 Friday, showers continue. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's here with the Laundry House Gang. If you have a question about anything out of the ordinary of ghoulish proportions, we're at 907-458 Talk 907-458-8255, and we venture into the winged world once in a while. Right, Wayne?
Well, I've got to go home and get my feet up and take a nap.
You going to hang upside down?
Yeah, I kind of want to get my feet up.
Okay.
Just started doing that last week.
Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, there's one outdoor event that we have to talk about before we get any further today. And as you know, over the years, we've always tried to bring you good outdoor stories, and because our cadre and associates are hunters and fishers and trappers and folks that are interested in natural resources. But we don't get a chance every once in a while to ask you about how you did in the field on your hunting trip here recently.
Yes. Oh,
so why don't you tell us that story?
In as much detail as possible.
Yeah. And you don't
well, first of all, I did not get a sheep.
Okay, let's go on.
But you know, it went into an area I had not been into before. And we decided to go into the later half of the season, thinking, you know, the colder it got, the lower they might be, the better we'd have a chance at them. I don't mind hunting in the cold at all. Don't mind hunting in the wet. But we were about 10 days, what I would consider, too late because of the snow, the amounts of snow that trying to see trails. Came into this one good valley, and we spent 3 days there. It took us, after we got off our side-by-side, It took us about 5 hours of a good pack in, and we each had 60-pound backpacks on. And on our way in, we were glassing very heavily and searching. And then after 5 hours, I found a perfect place to camp that was at the beginning of what I considered the hunting area. And that's where we started. You know, every morning, the sun's coming up about 6:15, and we're out and going about 6:30, 6:45, and we're done between 4:30 and 6, and, you know, we'd hydrate and have good food. Through it all, we only saw 3 sheep, and that sort of surprised me. I thought I'd see more. And I saw 3 and one, you know, from a spotting scope at about, you know, maybe 2 miles away, about a mile and a half away, looked like it might be legal. So it's time to put a stock on it. And it's, again, it's, you know, in a place that it can see everything. But all my instincts came back, you know, my hunting instincts, using the contours of this valley that we're in, the water, little stream that had cut channels, had banks that I could be behind as I got towards it. And that, it took me about 45 minutes to an hour to get to about 1,000 yards. Just wanted to make sure that it was legal or not legal. Got the spotting scope on. I had a beautiful broom, but it was about 3/4 of a curl. It was about a 6-year-old sheep. And, you know, I was filled with happiness because I had done everything I wanted. I went sheep hunting, found game. If I wanted to, I could have taken that game. I could have gotten within 200 yards. I saw the path. And my scope was sighted in exactly at 300 yards, so I probably would have aimed maybe an inch and a half low. I was ready to go, and we sort of took a look at it, and then we wanted to go farther up the valley, so we walked out more into the drainage so it could see us, and all of a sudden they all popped up after they saw us, and they took off. So they hadn't seen us before, and we sort of laughed, and we ain't following those things. So we went to this other area, and we got up to the where the Wrangell Mountains meet the Mentasta Mountains. We're on that pass. Mm-hmm. And looked in the other side and didn't see anything except for a lot of snow that was hitting us. And so we're in the middle of a snowstorm, and you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, when we started this stuff 41 years ago with my partner, so what about snow? Now I'm a smarter hunter. And I thought, let's go back. we've hunted this valley very, very well. The other one behind us on the Mentasta side of the range, that's socked in, wet, snowy. And I just don't feel like carrying a sheep up to an elevation of 6,000 feet. You know, I'll get up there myself, but just, no, I'm not going to do that. And on the way in, you know, we each got about 60 pounds on our back, and it's a good hike in. And we are, he said it, but I was thinking it. He goes, you know, we're only going to take one sheep because we got to pack this out. And, you know, I spent the summer shooting my 300 Weatherby, sighting it in, and just loved every minute of that. So I really enjoy just the process.
It's called hunting,
Dan. Yeah, but before you're even hunting, you're hunting. You're right. Getting everything set up. You know, my gear, everything. You know, sleeping on the side of a mountain in a tent in a little angle, so, you know, you don't have any comfortable sleep, but that didn't matter to me. I was fine. I was able to sleep and, you know, get rest. And had a very good tent, so it didn't get wet. Had good gear. You know, just make sure you got good gear if you're going sheep hunting. And because when you're in a wet tent or bad rain gear or a sleeping bag that's not warm enough, you're going to be wishing you spent the money that it was. So anyway, that's how it went.
It's a great story, but I wanted you to bring that up because some people assume that you have to, you know, be a outdoorsman of every kind in order to do these things like going to the sheep mountains. And, you know,
I don't moose hunt. I don't caribou hunt.
And
haven't most, duck hunter in a while. But, yeah, man, you sheep hunt. Oh, I'm
there you go.
Addicted.
Anyway, congratulations on another successful time out. You're going to bump into one of those silly things one of these years, and then you'll have to get your hands bloody.
And I proved to myself that I can still do it.
Yeah.
I can still do it.
You always wonder, when it asks you on your harvest report, how many days did you spend hunting? And I think they mean in the field.
Yes.
I got to go back there and fill that out.
Dave's is 41 days, and the season's only 30 days.
But yeah, well, you know, since January 1 of 2022, when I got my gun. Oh, boy. But, you know, there comes a time, you know, when you talk about an age of hunting. You know, how old are you and what can you do? And I was out there with a gentleman who was a few years older than me, and we knew our limitations. We did not surpass what we thought our limitations were. And we did not hurt ourselves. We did not strain anything. Boy, you know, we could have used good back rubs, you know, for the next week when we were done. What the heck? But it was just, it's why I live in Alaska. You know, and I looked at him and I said, this is the noise I've always wanted to hear. This is the noise that I've missed. There's no noise except for the mountain stream of water. That's the only noise you hear out there sheep hunting. And I couldn't wait to hear that noise again, just that noise. You know, there's no mechanics, it's just the noise of the stream.
No horns.
Yep. And that's it. So anyway.
It's a great, and it's the kind of thing that the people need to realize that's what we who hunt appreciate.
Yeah.
It's not just whether we've got sheep ribs in the freezer when we get home, but that experience of being out there like that.
Yeah, all of a sudden, everyone who I knew was all of a sudden a friend. Yeah, I've never had sheep. I want sheep.
Yeah. Well, sheep is good in itself, but sheep ribs seldom make it off the mountain.
True.
Wouldn't you say, Al?
Yeah. It's a salvage requirement.
Yeah, it's a salvage requirement. The salvage meaning, you know, on one of my last sheep hunts years ago where I was hunting in the Tok Management Area under a permit and had a really, really nice sheep. We got a couple of them. I remember my partner and I going through 1 foot tall willows along the creek trying to find enough dry twigs that we could
make a fire.
Roast the sheep ribs.
Yeah, exactly.
You
busy with your tannery?
It is very busy, yes.
You're in your season.
Yeah. It's overwhelming some days, but yeah, we get through it. A lot of people need a lot of information and a lot of services. So
I ran across you on what, Saturday over at...
Oh, yeah. You call.
Yeah, what were you doing over there?
Oh, getting boxes for shipping.
Yeah. I was getting propane for my grilling. Not cheap.
It was like a sheep adventure just trying to get into that place.
Yeah. Finding a way in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spotting it. Yeah.
So much traffic detours and going on that you can't hardly operate in this town without
driving
twice as far to get somewhere.
I brought up all the road construction yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's three seasons. There's basically hunting season, road construction season, and political season. And right now we're in the three seasons. Oh, boy. But that's how it gets. Now, Wayne, you wrote a book on sheep hunting. What year was that? I have your book.
It's been out about a year.
Okay.
And I'm not a distribution or marketing genius, so it's in limited release. But I think he's going on tour this winter.
Yeah.
Well, I have him on the radio. What the heck? How does someone get your book?
Probably the thing to do is just call my office or email me at weheimer@alaskan, as though I were one, .net, and I will figure out a way to get it to you.
Okay.
The retail price, I don't even know how you make that stuff up, but I settled on $15, but it's it covers a very long period, but it's a very short book.
It's a good book.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. The Laundry House Gang is in the studio with me. And I think this is bumper music from Glenner because it's David Bowie fame and he likes that esoteric music.
He's an esoteric.
I Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
In Pennsylvania, now searching statewide for Danilo Cavalcante. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivin of the Pennsylvania State Police. What does this guy look like right now?
The last description we have is that he had no shirt on. We have no reason to believe that he has other clothing immediately accessible to him.
But police do have reason to believe that he is armed. He stole a rifle while breaking into a home considered armed and dangerous. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announcing the launch of an impeachment inquiry into President Biden, accusing him of bribery, influence peddling, and lying about his involvement in his son's foreign business affairs.
Despite these serious allegations, it appears that the president's family has been offered special treatment by Biden's own administration. Treatment that not otherwise would have received if they were not related to the president.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a civilian aircraft violated a temporary flight restriction area over Anchorage on Monday during President Joe Biden's visit to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, according to military officials. In response, a loud NORAD F-16 fighter aircraft jetted across the skies above Alaska's largest city in an attempt to intercept the aircraft around noon, attracting plenty of attention from residents below. The incident took place while Biden and other politicians and military officials spoke at a 9/11 memorial to Alaska-based service members inside one of Jay Bear's large hangars. The Defense Command said the civilian aircraft was escorted to a nearby airport with the aid of flares, according to a press release. And finally, a homicide investigation is still underway after a man involved in a shooting died in Eagle River Sunday night. According to the latest information from the Anchorage Police Department, there have been no new developments to this ongoing investigation. An official with the police department said this is still being treated as a domestic violence crime and no arrests have been made at this time.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
We need cars.
That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We had to do some minor surgery here in the building due to Al breaking things, microphone stands, and but we fixed it, didn't we, Al?
Well, I can fix about anything. I Google it or YouTube it.
Or duct tape it. Mike, what's on your mind, sir?
No, I have lots of things on my mind, but I think the next issue we ought to get into, it'll come up pretty soon among and be more front line, and the proposal book for the next big Board of Game session will be on the street within a week to 10 days. It's in publication right now, and when that comes out, we're going to see a lot of this one's a lot for the interior. So there will be lots and lots of proposals for the Fairbanks area. And one of the issues in this, which is a forefront issue almost all the time now, is the opportunity to harvest our big game resources and who's doing that and what type of limitations they should have. And I think Al's got some numbers for us here of some of the stuff that's coming in the pipe here that we'll be looking for when this Board of Game session gets going.
Oh, it's just, you know, to get the public to start thinking about, you know, should non-residents participate in the 40-mile caribou hunt? And the 40-mile caribou hunt generally brings a lot of public discussion because of the competition that's up there. And the federal agencies have addressed four-wheelers by restricting who can use four-wheelers and side-by-sides out there, and there's, you know, this perception of degradation to the landscape, and excuse me. So there's been even a DNR starting to look at potentially ways of restricting people from using motorized vehicles on state land. And so it's a huge topic, and, you know, there's been a lot of discussion through public forums and stuff that...
Bless you.
Thank you.
You didn't get hit by a bat, did you?
Yeah. That, you know, maybe non-residents should participate in it because it's an intensively managed herd under the IM deal, and some people believe that's for Alaskans and don't want it. But when you start thinking like that with your blinders on, you have to think of the financial impact that the department hits when non-residents can't participate in an opportunity. And, you know, you could potentially lose $3 million.
Yeah, I was going to say their hunting fees pay for a lot of things.
Yes, exactly. So, but there has been a huge increase over the last 12 years or so from basically 400 non-residents participating in it to, you know, 900, 1,000. So, you know, it kind of adds to some of that competition up there. And it's large. You know, you see the pictures. There's hundreds of vehicles lined up on the road, and people are out there. And they've all acted really good because we haven't had a fatality or an injury, you know, from, you know, there's all kinds of incidences and reports of that. But, you know, nobody's been injured out there. So hunters are generally trying to follow the three rules with firearm safety out there.
You know, it's real interesting this time of year going out to the airport and seeing all the caribou racks that are being shipped outside. And, you know, they over the palms they have the cardboard and the duct tape, you know, and usually they're smiling, and it's just as neat to see.
So it's something for people to start thinking about and evaluating, making comments to the Board of Game on should we restrict, you know, other people's opportunity.
When's the meeting in Fairbanks?
Oh, yeah, March.
How do they make a comment or put in a proposal?
Once the proposal book comes out officially, then there'll be a place on the state Alaska Department of Fish and Game website where you can electronically submit comments to proposals.
Okay.
And you can go to the local advisory committee, the Fairbanks Advisory Committee, which will start up here probably end of October.
In October.
And help them, or have they can help you, or, you know, have voice your opinion there too, because they have a lot of contact with board members and the board themselves. So if you can't make it or don't want to do it,
Mr. Heimer,
this is an emotional issue for many folks. I know when the book comes out, I will have a proposal in there about sheep in Game Management Unit 19C. To rescind what the board did emotionally last year to ban non-resident hunting. The department had presented the data. There was no compelling biological emergency and no reason to do what they did, but it was an emotional deal. They said, well, there aren't very many sheep. Let's just shut down non-residents. And the cost to management in terms of dollars was significant there as well. You know, the board, meanwhile, has gone even deeper into management rather than regulation with a planning team to develop their own management plan for this or that or the other thing. It's a runaway in many ways, and it's understandable because Alaskans feel a proprietary interest in their game, but it's got to be a balance or it'll get really weird.
Mr. Tinker.
Well, this proposal book, I would just harp on it for another second to people. There are dozens of proposals from the Fairbanks area and for the Fairbanks area in there. I know the advisory committee itself has a half a dozen or eight in there. And then there are folks like me that took some of their issues and wrote additional proposals because of the deadlines and whatnot coming up. And if you work through the advisory committee, they have to have a meeting. They have to vote on all that. And if you're an individual, you and I, Dave, could have a sheep proposal and put it in at 5 o'clock on the last day. So there will find, so you'll find people that are that are involved in this process in several different ways, and they'll be in there by name in one place and by the advisory committee or something in the other place. And you'll even see occasionally where the Board of Game or the department will have a proposal on the issue too, you know, because they're allowed to do that if they so choose. Excuse me. So what I would encourage everybody to do when that book is available, be online. Also, be take some of your spare time and read through that thing. If it's if you have a special interest in hunting in the Game Management Unit's 20 issues type of thing, look through that thing. And if something catches your eye that would change or influence what you like to do, by all means, then think about preparing a comment. You can take that comment, as Al says, to the advisory committee. Or you can take it directly to the Board of Game. They will meet here in Fairbanks. I think that meeting's in Fairbanks. Yep. Yeah. And so you'd have an opportunity to do that. Some people like to write it down rather than read it into the microphone. But there are different ways to do it, and also opportunities to talk with your hunting colleagues and others about it and see where they came from. One of the things that people get by coming to the advisory committee is a large volume of history on where some of these issues came from, not just an individual proposal, because a proposal could be 8 or 9 words and you look at it and it doesn't fit in context because there just isn't really an opportunity to do that, although some proposals are written with, I think I've got one of them in there, it's 2 pages long because it had some history associated with it. So it's a, that proposal is on the boundaries for the Fairbanks non-subsistence area. So when you find those kind of things, then this is a chance for every individual to get involved in the process. And we're one of the only states that even contemplates doing this.
And to that point, the basic reason we have the Board of Game system that we do is because way back in statehood days, we had arbitrary regulation coming out of Washington, D.C. And, you know, fisheries was a big part of that, the monster part. But the reason we have this hugely public process is so the public will have a voice in their
management.
The management of their resource. The Board of Game, of course, is the regulator, but the actual manager is the department, and it gets to be a real interesting arrangement there sometimes.
Well, let me give you an example of where it's been in the news lately. And it's where the rest of the world misunderstands what it is the state of Alaska is trying to do. And I'm talking about the intensive management recently for the Mulchatna caribou herd, where the department went in, they decided to take a small sliver of a huge area and calving area for the caribou herd and remove bears.
Mm-hmm.
Every bear that they could take out of there for a extended period is about a month long. It turned out that they thought when they started that they would be dealing with both brown bears and black bears in kind of an equal number. But when the bears got into the area and they started actually into the project, they discovered it was a brown bear area, and they killed nearly 100 with only a few black bears in there. This has caused a big fuss. The National Park Service proponents are screaming and yelling, even though there aren't any parks involved in this. Because we're taking this endangered species, Alaska brown bears are not endangered.
Not even close.
But you'll find it in the online almost every day. It's in the publications about this terrible management thing, and it does not. These people have not done their research to realize that the number of bears taken was a very tiny percentage of the brown bears in that area, in that region, not just in that valley.
Mm-hmm.
That Alaska's brown bear population is extremely healthy. Most people are running into them, in more bigger numbers now than they were even 10, 15 years ago. And that they don't understand that the Mulchatna caribou herd that once went along at 50 or 60,000 for some years got into a growth spurt, went up into plus 100,000 animals, and then crashed, but crashed all the way back to now around and possibly less than 10,000. But it was a herd that was hunted and is in intensive management because it's a food source for many villages and communities out there. And so this is one of those things where Alaska's management is trying to reduce predators on the production, the calving ground, so that more calves will survive so this herd will start to grow again.
With that, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Mike, thank you for that very, very good and detailed explanation. If you have a phone call, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and Wayne Heimer is taking calls about BatBit.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers, plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem. They're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay, well done.
Guys, it's time to start taking care of your health. Right now, men all over town are raving about Fairbanks Urology.
I just had a vasectomy done by Dr. Nima here at Fairbanks Urology. I can't say how happy I am with the procedure and the service that I received here. The improvement to my life is just tremendous. Seriously consider if you need a vasectomy coming here to get it done. They will take care of your every need.
Make the call today, 328-0989 for Fairbanks Urology.
The team at Denali Industrial Supply would like to say thank you for joining them on their demo days this summer. And in case you missed the big savings from these events, they're offering September specials on Milwaukee, Makita, and DeWalt tools, batteries, and accessories. Whether you're a professional in the industry or a DIY enthusiast, the September specials at Denali Industrial Supply can help you expand your existing toolkit. Don't miss your chance to save on top-tier tools from Denali Industrial Supply all through the month of September. Denali Industrial Supply on Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with highs around 56. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 37. Highs around 57 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday and Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We have in the studio here with me the Laundry House Gang, and all the fingers are pointing at Al for whatever reason. Al, what's up?
I just wanted to mention that the Board of Fisheries is going to have a work session this November, and comments are due by the 27th of September, and the issue with the Chitna dipnetters is they'd like to see that Board of Fisheries meeting for that fin fishery, which involves the dipnettery, held in Cordova, or held in Anchorage instead of Cordova, because Cordova is a hard place to get into, one flight a day.
Yeah,
it's very compact with all the people for a whole Board of Fisheries. You know, cell phone service is kind of limited out there. So they've been asking everybody to write a comment to the Board of Fisheries to hold the next fish meeting in Anchorage for that area.
Makes sense.
So you can find that comments on the Board of Fisheries website page, and there's a portal there that you can click on and submit your comments to them, suggesting that the Board of Fisheries hold that fin fishery in Anchorage.
Wayne, if you were going to send someone out into the wilds of Alaska in September to hunt or fish, where would you send them?
I'd send them to the spruce trees around my house.
Harvesting squirrels.
The squirrels are starting to throw cones out of the trees, and that makes them vulnerable.
Not to you.
Well, no, I'm busy with many things.
Well, what other things would you recommend?
I'd recommend, you know, late season boating is fun for me. I like it when it's cold and the water is thick because it's about to freeze. But the tip I would have for people, particularly in the lower Chino, is stay out of the weeds. There are aquatic weeds that have grown up there over the summer, and you simply can't run a jet unit through them. Stomp grade or not, you just can't do it.
There you go. Al, what's your recommendation?
Well, I'm going to kind of take your lead, and since you didn't tell us where you were hunting,
in the mountains.
I'm not going to tell people where I go hunting.
I said, what's your recommendation? Not your secret spot.
Well, I think it's a real good time if you want to get a black bear or a grizzly bear or a wolf at the Steese Highway. You know, above tree line is a great place to go. You're not going to have near the caribou hunters there again, so there's enough gut piles laying around that potentially you got a really good opportunity to see a grizzly bear, wolf, or black bear up there.
There you go.
And lots of ptarmigan.
Mike, what's your recommendation?
Well, now that we're getting into the end of moose season in the local area here, about three more days, and some of the areas around go a little longer, I would switch from my moose bag and pick up my shotgun and start. This is a great time to go grouse hunting. If you get up high enough, like Al was saying, then
you're starting to see them too. Yeah, you're starting to see them. Yeah.
You start to see them out, and they're trying to pick up gravel and whatnot. And it's a kind of thing. I like the kind of things where you can take the kids along, whatnot. And sometimes moose hunting or sheep hunting, it's harder to do that.
Explain what the gravel does.
Well, the birds use the gravel in their crop to grind up the food that they're eating as it goes down in their digestive tract. And so they have to go look for gravel. This time of year, you'll catch a lot of them right along the edge of the road where the fine gravel is, and they don't get there. If they're out in a big wet swamp or something, it's pretty hard for them to find rocks.
My recommendation is, if you got a boat, go down to the...
Good pasture?
Nope. But close. The Delta Clearwater. Because you're going to be getting into the... you're just going to catch these. You're not going to eat them, but the silver salmon are in there. You're getting into that season. And also the grayling right now are probably really ferocious and doing their last stalking before the winter really sets in. And it's a beautiful little river that you can get onto. And that's my recommendation.
I think the silvers won't be showing up until the latter part of September, early October.
A little early.
Well,
but
on
the lower end, maybe.
This is my month of September.
Well, this is kind of like hunting, Al. By the time people get their boat and their fishing gear together, there'll be plenty of time to go down there.
Boy, what a critic. He must be on like a board of game or something.
Yeah, not that's the other Al.
That's fish.
For your listeners, Dave, it's interesting because the reason we pick on the unnamed interior rivers like the Good Pasture is that our colleague Craig Compo, who is usually here trying to sell his boats, you know, under the guise of talking about issues, is out moose hunting. We're wishing him well, and I tried to get a comment from him this morning because he has a minor contact from phone where he is, but I didn't get it back just so we could give him a bad time. But he'll be with us next time when we get in and get another shot at it. But I hope people enjoy listening to our discussions here. And if any of you are out there interested in a particular issue, give Dave a call, and we'll handle it the next time around, because this could be a two-way street.
Exactly. I got phone calls yesterday and things I'm looking into for people. And that's what we do here. You know, it's going to be checking out the river water height of we're at the Barnett Street Bridge. What's that? You know, why they put it so low? Typical engineer move. You know, let's not make it high as the Cushman Street Bridge. Let's make it the lowest bridge there, and see if they're going to be making a overpass for the railroad train at the University Avenue. That was always in the talks.
It's been in the plan for a very long time, over 30 years. And that one's a little different than some. The issue there is you are so close to the railroad yard, you cannot take the railroad up and down much.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're close enough to the road in between Geist Road and College Road that you can't take the highway up in the air. So this is going to have to be where, when they get around to it, one of them's going to go down a little bit, and one of them's going to go up a little bit.
And they just got done doing University Avenue.
But why? The train's only going.
Oh, no. That's right now a national standard. It's the same reason we're doing it on the STIS. And the standard is between the National Rail Authority. Boy, are they fun to work with. I remember trying to talk to them a couple of times.
Now you get into the subjects that late in the show.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with DOT. They basically gave up our state sovereignty by taking all these federal monies and not being able to let us make our decisions and say, well, it's a federal program.
Well, actually, Al, we have the choice, and we do it not by program, but by project. If we don't if we have a project we want to do something different on, we can.
If we don't have a problem, we shouldn't have to fix it.
Well, we use other money.
Fairbanks, even on the Laundry House Gang, you'll hear a fight.
Oh, yeah.
On the radio.
Every Wednesday.
Yeah, and they're sitting next to each other. Those are good boxing gloves there, guys. Yeah.
You know, I'm up against the retired DOT guy, so.
Yeah.
You know, he's used to it.
You know, those biologists and those DOT guys are, you know, those fish and game guys are bad to the bone. They can get bit and keep ticking.
Yeah, they'll mock you when you've been assaulted.
I'm just a product of outcome-based education. So.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left.
You want to keep going,
Mr.
on it.
Mr. Tinker, any final comments from you?
Well, a couple things people could be looking out for is the state has come back with its rebuttal to the U.S. Federal Fish and Wildlife Service WELDA, a fight over fishing authority for management on the Kuskokwim River. Did that about a week and a half ago. Did, I think, a really good job of getting started on that. There is a press release out. If somebody were to look at the department's or the governor's press releases, you can see it. This is a little bit similar to the Sturgeon and Katie John cases in of who has management authority in the water column under navigable rivers. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Before it comes down, I don't know what the court's going to do with it. The state has just turned their rebuttal into the federal court. But watch for that one. It's a biggie.
We're going to take a phone call real fast.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is? Your name is? I hung up.
The other thing that will be coming out by the end of the month is the Federal Subsistence Board will decide whether to hold a winter caribou hunt in Unit 13. The Board of Game and the Department had requested that the Federal Subsistence Board also close all federal hunts on Nelchina caribou due to their decline in population and not sustainable.
So, Wayne, when's your next book on bat bites in Alaska coming out?
I think it'll be a little while. You know, I've got a memoir in the works. We'll have to have priority, but the bat report is available if
the bat report.
So people want to.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
You're aware it took him 40 years to write the sheep book, aren't you?
That's a good book.
But the bat report has Cleopatra in it.
Oh, you go back way far.
Burbot fishing is fun this time of year.
Down to where you're at.
Well, if you find a place where you can get into an eddy and throw a piece of herring or something out there, you might end up with a better meal than you had.
Than the herring.
Yeah.
I don't know. Herring's pretty good.
A lot of folks love burbot.
A lot of folks love burbot, yeah. It the lobster of Alaska.
There you go.
Is the burbot. So what the heck. So is your business knocking you out there, Al, or are you keeping up with it?
Oh, it's doing really well. I'm keeping up with it. Things have just been steady. They haven't been super overwhelming yet, but the month is getting shorter.
There you go. Well, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You've heard from the Laundry House Gang. It's September. This is when you're going to hear the good stuff, the hunting. We heard about bats, sheep, all sorts of other regulatory stuff, Mulchatna, Kuskokwim, but that's why we're here. Gentlemen, thank you so much. You have a great day. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow.